Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek, how are you doing?
Oh, right.
Good.
Average.
Average. About a 5, 6?
Yeah, I've reduced my average.
Oh, right, an average for you. Okay.
Yeah, 2016, I've reduced. My average is probably 4.5.
Oh, good, yeah.
And I've reduced it to about 3.9 is my
average.
About
3.9. Okay, so it's incremental.
So it's I'm doing worse than a normal person.
Sure, well,
but average, yeah. For me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I had a good feeling about this year as well, going into it. You know,
this has been, on all counts, celebrity deaths, upheaval in politics, and my own career, the worst year.
That's the triptych, right?
Yeah. Well, at least that's three. That's the three things that's happened.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But this is not about...
It's not about recrimination and regret. This is about movies. Movie
people
films.
Come here to be uplifted.
Uplifted. Lifted out of their dull lives by us, the warrior kings of culture.
Sitting in our golden thrones in the clouds.
Yeah, do you like my new golden throne, by
yeah,
the way?
Yeah, this is recorded 5,000 feet above the earth.
Which is why there's so many sirens around, you know.
Yes, I mean, that's
Sky Police.
Yes, the Sky Police.
We're going to talk about a film that I saw in the cinema this week, which I knew very little about other than the reputation of the director.
See, I've seen interviews with him. I've really slagged him off before.
Yeah, I know you have. We'll be less cryptic. I'm going to talk about The Neon Demon, which is... Is it Nicholas...
Nicholas Winding Refn.
Winding Refn, who did Drive, and...
Oh, excuse me.
You're excused.
That is hay fever. I didn't sneeze in your coffee.
That's all right.
I did block it with my hand.
Good. He did Drive and Only God Forgives.
That's what I was trying to cut.
And is there another one he did? I think there is. That...
He did one before Drive.
Yeah, anyway.
He did...
The Neon Demon, which is out in cinemas now, is about a young, naive, some would say, model moving to Los Angeles in order to make her fortune as a model.
And very much similar to our career path.
Where we moved to the big city to make it as faces, hands and bodies.
Yes.
And it's her... Well, basically... You know, corruption into this murky world and loss of innocence and all of that. Very, very traditional storytelling tropes. But it's done in an incredibly stylish way where every shot could basically be a Vogue shoot. You know, it's every frame almost.
I listened to an interview on another podcast.
What?
Yeah. I occasionally to other film podcasts. I'm really shocked about how pretentious they are.
Really? Should we be more pretentious? Is that why they have more listeners?
We do... You say, essentially, at the start of things more, you should say that more. Essentially, what it is I have said that a few times. You say that, and then you use longer words.
The word essentially is a weapon, though, isn't it? Because you just go, let me cut through everyone else's bullshit by giving you exactly the kernel of truth at the heart of this issue. That's what the word essentially does.
I listened to a rival podcast.
Yeah.
and we've both got the same listenership, the Mark Commode podcast.
Yeah, sure.
And he said essentially about 20 times.
Okay. So I don't want to criticise other people's foibles because I fear I have loads of my
own. I say sort of, but now I'm going to say essentially.
Instead of It's a posh man's
Well, essentially, yes.
So, essentially, what Neon Demon essentially is essentially, it's... Have you seen the film Beyond the Valley of the Dolls? Danielle Ward brought it
in. Yes, of course, yes. Watch.
This is basically...
The weird murder sort of...
Weird murder, LA, but about loss of innocence and going down the rabbit hole into a seedy world that on the surface of it seems sort of approachable and friendly. And then it ends in really weird chasing around a manor with an axe.
That sort of Dario Argento flick.
Yeah,
did he do that one or not?
Yeah, I think it's him. Yeah, I think that's right. This is basically a remake of Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Okay.
And it also has a bit of a feel of Showgirls to it as well.
What, Knockers?
Knockers and stuff. No, it doesn't. Well, it does a bit. But just in what it's the story arc is.
Yeah.
But it is daft, it is pretentious, it is...
Oh, sorry, Beyond the Relevant of Dolls is, of course, Russ Meyer.
Of course, yes. But it's... The Neon Demon is utterly stupid and thoroughly enjoyable.
Like, oh, really?
I've enjoyed
heard
it. Yeah. Well, you have to buy into it and go along with it because nobody speaks like a human being. They all speak, but in the same way as Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, really, where everyone sort of speaks like they're in an allegory, not a story, if you know what I mean, where every line is about something. But it's...
Camp.
It's high camp.
I love Drive,
really.
But the other one, only, what's it called?
Only God Forgives.
It was everything that was wrong with Drive.
Right.
In one film with terrible script and needless violence. I know that Drive is very violent.
Yeah.
No story and awful dialogue, so I was worried that
the violence is rationed quite well in this, and it is affecting when it happens. It's not often.
Did it have his signature neon and that sort of pink colour?
It's called the Neon Demon. I mean, he's gone super neon with
this. So it's even more neon.
Well, it's more glitter actually. I thought it should have been called the Glitter Demon, really.
Uh-huh.
And I will be writing to him about that and pulling him up on it.
Glitter Demon is not as good though, is it?
Well, maybe not. Maybe that's why. It stars Elle Fanning, who I've not seen before, but I think she's Dakota Fanning's sister.
Yeah.
And she plays a girl who everyone who sees just goes, she's got what everybody wants.
Yeah.
She's just beautiful.
Well, she's a natural beauty.
Yeah, exactly, rather than a fake beauty. And that is the central heart of what the film is about. She bumps into someone that seems nice and takes her under her wing, called Ruby, who's played by Jenna Malone, I don't know how they pronounce it in America, who was actually the love interest in Donnie Darko way back when.
But oh,
she's
okay.
She's a woman now. And she asks her in the...
Well, she was a bloke in Donnie Darko.
No, she wasn't she was a woman. Do you remember the famous picture of the girl in the cinema and the massive rabbit?
Yeah,
That's her there. She basically says all women like lipstick colours that are either about food or sex. So which one are you? Are you sex or are you food? And that is very much the theme stated early on about this...
Sex or food?
Yeah, are you sex or are you food?
I think that sounds all right.
It's what? Which would you be?
I'd just be a sort of food but with a hole in it, like a donut.
No, that makes sense. Cover both bases.
Yeah,
that's good. It's got a few celebrity cameos.
Onion ring, warmer.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think I'd want to be sugary. I'd always lick my lips.
Yeah.
It's got Christina Hendricks in it very briefly at the beginning, and it's got a very poorly cast, I think, Keanu Reeves. Because he plays quite a sinister, creepy, sexual predator.
He hasn't got the voice for it.
He doesn't have the eyes for it either. Mm. In that you just look into his eyes and you just go, No, lovely man. I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a second. Which is a shame, because I actually enjoy watching him when he's a leading role or he's in the right thing. But
if he's cast in the right thing, he's very watchable.
Yeah.
He's got some odd gentleness about him, which is really nice.
He does. He does, for a man who's apparently had a rather tragic life.
Yeah.
But I hear he's very nice. He gave his paycheck to the stuntmen on The Matrix.
Did he?
Because they weren't being paid enough. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Good bloke. We should have him on, actually.
Yeah, I've got his number.
Why don't you call him? He could really help you out.
Yeah.
He's probably got a huge house that needs painting.
I could... Yeah, exactly. God, it's not fun
at all. Oh, sorry. But no, I think this film is not going to be for everyone. Some people will absolutely fucking hate it.
It's a thriller.
Yeah, it is. It is in a way. But it's a sort of dark psychological thriller. It's... like the same genre as Black Swan, but is better than that.
I do like the fact that he's got, seems to have his own style.
Yes.
Which is, and there's someone doing these sort of odd films. Yeah, I do like the fact that this person's about around. I think that maybe he was lucky with Drive. I wonder if he made these before. Before he wouldn't have, because he made Bronson as well, which I've not seen.
Oh, if that's him, Bronson is a brilliant film. Yeah, I love it. It's, they feel more like dreams, and he's actually curating a season of films at the Picture House Central in London soon, and which was interesting because it was advertised before the film, and it just tells you sort of what his inspirations are, what his influences were. And Suspiria's in there, and Mulholland Drive. And you just go, yeah, of course. Of course, yeah. But it has this feel of something... It's got creepiness to it, because it's occasionally surreal and weird, and it just makes you feel like you're in a dream rather than you're watching just a linear, plotted narrative, you know?
I think about Suspiria quite a lot. I think it is... absolutely incredible film.
I've still not seen it.
If you haven't seen Suspiria, please track it down and watch it. For one of the oddest, dream, disconcerting, but visually jaw-dropping films. It just really stays with you.
Yeah.
So please have a watch. How many days would you give it?
I'm just trying to think. I think I'd give it 7. It's very good. There's not a lot of reality in it, but I think that's intentional. And men do not come across well in this at all, but I think that's also fine. It's a really interesting watch. I would say if you're intrigued, go and see it in the cinema, because it's a visual feast.
Yeah.
And the smaller screen just won't be the same. Like with Drive, you need those images just to be all you can see, and you need the decent speakers for that soundtrack to just sort of overwhelm you.
Drive was the last time I was properly blown away in the cinema.
Yeah.
I did like Youth this year, but Drive really... that's a lie, actually.
Yeah, well, you've been overwhelmed in the cinema a lot.
Yeah, but Drive was absolutely... I just wanted to watch it again as soon as I left.
Yeah.
I wanted to lean against the wall and put my foot up against it, as if I was in the... you know, like a James Dean character.
I tried that recently.
It's already uncomfortable, isn't it?
It's really uncomfortable if you're not very flexible. He must, you know...
leaning back with one foot up against the wall.
It doesn't help you. I mean, that's what your bum's for.
I mean, he'd made that look cool.
Yeah.
But the first person who'd done that, you thought, why are you leaning... Yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing, bending your knee against the wall and just standing there on one foot?
You get the wall dirty.
But it's a brand new pose. I might try and think of a brand new pose.
That'd be good. Could you do it with both feet? No, that would be silly, wouldn't it? You'd be...
You need to look like you're not trying.
Yeah. If you're just standing on both knees with your feet against the wall.
Yeah, that would put you up.
I don't think you'd look cool, though, would you? You'd probably be quite uncomfortable.
I think I would look cool.
Yeah, maybe. What about leaning with your hand against the wall, but full arm stretch?
I mean, you're doing some exercise video.
Not if you're smoking at the same time.
Why not send in your pictures of yourself in cool cinematic poses?
We need a new iconic pose to to help us into the 21st century, because it's been a stumbled start, hasn't it? We need new images that we can all believe in again.
I tell you what we should do.
What?
At the end, when we record the podcast...
This podcast?
Yeah, I've got my camera. I'm going to take a couple of photos of poses.
Okay.
Outside on the...
Sure.
And put them on the website.
To get us rolling, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we often ask our listeners to do something and then we don't join in, don't we? We're very lazy like
that. Some cool poses.
Okay. Yeah, fine. Well, speaking of cool poses...
Yeah.
I think it's time for this.
Last time we spoke about people not writing in letters, and you actually have written in letters. Occasionally when we do double record, because of people are working, so you might have thought, oh, they asked for letters, and then they're not reading letters out.
Yeah, there is sometimes a two-week lag before we before an episode. So if it's been only 2 weeks, don't worry, we are getting to you. But you have taken our call and... like the Knights of the Vale, come to our aid. So thank you very much for writing so many things. We'll get through them over the next 2 weeks, as I say.
And so keep on writing.
Keep on writing, please do. It is our favourite bit of the show. It lets us know that our statistics of listenership aren't just people's phones in a drawer downloading the episodes each week and no one listens to them.
They are my favourite listeners.
Do you just like the ones who've got two phones and one phone is left at home? Like maybe at their parents' place, and they no longer live in that country, and it just keeps downloading episodes. Are they your
That sounds quite romantic.
It does a bit, doesn't it?
It's Colin Bowles, first of all.
What does Colin Bowles want?
If read out, do as if you're a Geordie robot who's seen better days. Also, if you can infer that the robot is pro EU. Geordie. I'm just getting into it. I mean, this is interesting process for listeners.
This is method, isn't it?
Yeah, how does he get into this? Find a phrase.
I would try doing a Geordie, then try doing a robot, and then melt them together.
Mike, I grew up.
That's excellent.
After listening to the recent do-over episode, I had a little idea. Next time you have a guest on, you play the inverse casting game. David and Marek choose three parts that the other should play from well-known films. They then play these against their opponent's choices, with the guest deciding in each case which they would prefer to see.
I don't understand. So what are they suggesting?
Oh, we say we choose parts that we would play.
Or that I choose for you? Is that what he's saying?
Choose parts. Yeah, the other should play, and they decide which. That's a really good idea.
And then the judge has to decide.
Yeah.
So there's only two, though. Is there? So it could be a tie, and we hate to draw.
No, but you choose three different parts.
Oh, I see, okay.
And you put them on each round.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's a very good idea, Colin.
Well, maybe we'll do it next week.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Here's another one.
Yeah.
It's from Alan B.
Alan B.
Alan, but not B, B the letter.
Yeah.
It's Alan B double E.
Oh, he's a B, okay.
Okay.
This is from Alan B. Hi, both. After a series of crappy films you've been watching, I'd recommend The Kings of Summer, a great coming-of-age movie about two teen boys who want to escape their annoying parents by building a house in the woods. Great acting, great characters. It'll cheer you up after a shitload of crappy superhero films have turned your brains to mush. Have fun. Alan. I read that really weirdly. Like a robot. Have fun. Alan. P.S. Accent. Don't put it at the end, Alan. I've already read it out. Upwardly mobile working class lad from Scunthorpe with parents who listen to a lot of Radio 4. Well, that's basically me, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, glad I could help, Alan. What was that called again, that film?
King of Summers.
King of Summers.
The Kings... Sorry. The King... I put the S in the wrong place. The Kings of Summer.
The Kings of Summer.
Don't watch King of Summers.
It's a very different film.
It's basically...
Yeah.
Like Bum's Dog.
Oh, God. But I've heard it's 4 hours long.
What was really annoying is that was the first thing that came into my head.
Bloke Bum's Dog.
Yeah.
But you're a bloke and there's a dog over there.
Well, you're probably right, yeah.
Probably say what you see.
I could have said...
right,
man,
you know.
Man drinks coffee.
Yeah, you could have done, that's true.
Okay. Let's have another one.
Okay, one more letter, but we should save them for next week as well.
Okay, this is from Short Film Sunday. Okay. Hi, guys. Much I love the credit, I'm afraid Matter of Life and Death recommendation didn't come from me. Oh, sorry. Someone else recommended and I misattributed it, though. But it does provide an opportunity for me to snag again a couple of you have suggested, oh, this is it, best years of our lives, if you get in the mood for another oldie. That's what I was thinking about.
Right.
Mixed up. I mean, it is quite... There's of in both titles and live, and so it's very similar.
It's very similar titles.
I did a sort of accident start a little thing. I don't understand. Watched Tootsie, watched Witness the next night. So until the new Ghostbusters out, I'm going to watch 80s films with one word titles. Surprisingly good list to choose from. Tonight it's Stakeout. Also, taking an 8-year-old next week for their first Princess Bride viewing in the real cinema. I'll let you know how that goes. Oh, great.
Great.
I really like Stakeout.
Which one's Stakeout?
Stakeout is Richard Dreyfuss and Emilio Estevez.
Really?
And they play... It shouldn't work. And they just basically play two cops staking out... Madeline Stowe... while she's being sort of her old lover comes out of prison. I really loved it. It's just everyone in it's really, really good.
Awesome.
If you want to watch a good 80s film, Stakeout, can't go wrong with that. It's got no, and it's not really seen. There was another Stakeout in 1993, but no one really talks about Stakeout. But when I watched it, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I looked up what films were released in 1986 in July, as we're now in July 2016. And it was more exciting things. We got, I think, Alien or Aliens? Which one will it have been?
When
1986.
That's Aliens.
Aliens, Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, that's unrated.
And Flight of the Navigator. And
you know the bloke for the Flight Navigator is in prison?
Yeah, I saw that. It's really sad. The guy who plays David.
Yeah.
What did he do again? I read that article.
For robbing a bank or something.
Yeah, something weirdly cartoonish.
So, I mean, your careers can go downhill. Let's read one more letter.
All right,
it's from it's from friend of the show who I recently went to the cinema with, which I'm going to talk about the film next week, Lizzie Roper.
It's Lizzie Roper, everyone. Read this in a very camp German accent. Fine. So, I need to do German. Yeah, I am doing German.
That's a good
one. That is wunderbar. And then I need to do make it more camp than that.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's very good. Dear David and Malik, my dad's in an old people's home. Yes, he has Wi-Fi. It is free, but the fees for the home are scribblingly high, so I like to think of it as the world's most expensive Wi-Fi with bum-wiping benefits. Plus, the food is exceptionally good. There's also a cat who wanders around called Whiskey. They do have a film club once a week, but there is no sign of Film Fandango anywhere. Yours, the Roper. P.S. None of them want to give you any money. This was in response to our question. Do old people's homes have Wi-Fi?
And someone on Twitter, I think, tweeted in to tell us that an old person's home has Wi-Fi. I'll just tell you who it was. Oh, God. Well, someone tweeted in.
Someone tweeted in.
Thank you, whoever it was. I'm really sorry. Yes, but that was what I was basically saying, trying to get old people who had no one to give them money to give them money to us.
Yeah.
To try and appeal for donations to help keep the podcast going. I mean, ironically, it led to a total drying of donations and several people, well, not several people, probably the only people canceling their
subscriptions. Yeah, that's true. Well, that's enough for the letters.
Should we talk about these? We'll talk about a couple of Netflix films then.
Yeah, we've both caught some films on Netflix to recommend potentially to you. Marek, what have you seen?
My friend recommended this to me. It's called Mission to Lars, and it is a documentary by a Guardian journalist called Kate Spicer about her brother who has Fragile X syndrome, which is a form of autism.
Right.
and he is obsessed with Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich.
Okay, yeah.
And so all he says is, want to meet Lars the whole time. So they decide, her and her brother, who's a filmmaker, to take him from his home that he's in to America to try and meet Lars Ulrich.
Okay.
Is it Ulrich or Ulrichs?
Ulrich.
Yeah. So it's, I think it was all right. It could have been brilliant. It's very low. It feels like a very low budget thing. It's just him and her sister, yeah. And that's it. And that, nothing else is really. It felt like it was filmed on the hoof. The only thing was, the most interesting bits were the bits when he was at the home and seeing all the people. Because I've worked with, I sort of taught drama and, to help people were adults with sort of learning disabilities and autism and, you know, all that business. You can say it like that.
Yeah.
And it is hilarious and fascinating. So the bits when they're taking him on tour, it's just him and he's a bit uncomfortable, aren't as much fun as when you see people in the home. And they do raise the question a bit of, are they just doing it so they can make a film, a document? There's a question whether they're just doing it to make a documentary. What are they getting out of it?
Right.
But anyway, it is spoilers. That I don't want to spoil it, really. It's obvious what happens. They're not going to do a documentary where they don't
meet. Sure, I mean, all they've got is basically whether they succeed or not, right?
That's the problem, really. It's just going to America to meet Lars Ulrich and then seeing whether you meet him or not.
Isn't he famously an arsehole? That's what I've heard. Like, he's the guy who really, really wants every penny of Metallica money, isn't it? Do you know?
I've heard sort of this sort of story. But
he's anti Napster, 100%. He was famously in the news.
I agree with all that stuff, though.
Sure, sure.
But in this, it's quite boring, I think, for the first hour. But the end bit, there's something, even for a miserable middle aged man like me, there, it's watching unbridled joy, innocent joy on someone's is really uplifting. So for the last half an hour, I was just smiling all the way through. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. How many Marics do you reckon?
Six.
Okay. Well, I watched a film called Boom Bus Boom, which has been made by Terry Jones, and I think his son. And it
What's
is
his son's name?
Jones Jr. I don't know his son's name. You've made me look it up and waste time.
Oh, go on then, tell
me.
No,
I'm going to look up his son's name. I'm going to look up Terry Jones' son's name. Why don't you have a guess? What do you think Terry Jones' son is called?
Jerry
Jones.
Or Barry, just so it doesn't rhyme, but it looks the same.
Okay.
Did you know that...
Bill.
When I say... I've said this before, probably, because I tend to repeat every story after a year. If I say my name to people in nightclubs, they often say Barry back to me.
When you say Marek, they say
Barry. Marek.
I can see that. There's a similar
Barry. And I say, no, Marek. All right, Barry.
Yeah.
I've had that conversation.
Right, you say maybe 50, you say Marek, but don't actually say it. Just move your mouth after three. One, two, three. Barry. Yeah, that works. I can see
Barry.
That. I can see that. Well, this film, I watched on a whim, because it's Terry Jones and I like him, and it's about economics and why we keep, as human beings, as a species, keep ploughing into economic depressions, even though it's happened before and we know why.
Well, it's cyclical.
It is, but it's... I won't tell you anything about it other than it's fine, but I wanted to know more about economics, but it actually looks at both the historical, going back, you know, really, really far into basically the early days of capitalism, of why it keeps happening, and also psychological. They go to Monkey Island and try theories with monkeys to see, and monkeys pretty much do the same thing.
Why is Terry Jones making films about economics?
Oh, he always used to make, he's interested in stuff, and he's interested in history specifically.
Is that Buddy's tail?
That's Buddy, yeah. He always... He's made some of the best documentaries about the Crusades that have ever been on television.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that.
And he's written books about Vikings and stuff. Like, he's just a very knowledgeable man who's losing his mind, sadly, as in Alzheimer's, I think.
Yeah.
When he did that Monty Python 02 thing, he had cue cards, didn't he? Because he can't remember lines anymore. But he's a very bright man. And it's very entertainingly put together. But it feels like a TV movie, you know. I'd give it six.
Can we just listen to Buddy's tale? Oh, he stopped now.
Well, it's because he knows something's happening. We've stopped talking, so he's...
That's a very good. That's a good. It must be some new sort of use for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's about it.
That is about it. So I don't want to talk much about Boom Bust Boom, but if you're interested in the economics of why we're here now, told in a fairly entertaining way with puppets.
I didn't say that.
Well, no, there's puppet sketches and stuff. But it feels like just to try and sex up a bit. Not sex. Puppets aren't sex, are they? Trying to fun up a rather dry topic. But
what's the sexiest puppet you've ever seen?
The sexiest puppet I've ever seen. Oh, that's very tricky, isn't it? Well, the Gelflings quite sexy. They're quite elfin, weren't they?
So you've been on
when they were older.
So you've been on an island,
yeah,
for a long time yourself, like Castaway,
like
3 weeks,
yeah, like long holiday.
And Miss Piggy washes up. Miss Piggy puppet washes up.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Well. I'd learn to do her voice, I think. I'd try and bring her back to life.
That's
I
the first
that's
thing.
Genuinely,
you
what I do, I practice doing Frank Oz's voice.
Okay.
It's basically like this, isn't it? That's all Frank.
Stop it, you're getting me.
Oh, Merrick!
What a horrible image to end on. What a horrible image.
Well, yeah. If you'd like to write to us, then go to our website, filmfandango.co.uk, and there's a box you can fill in from there, and we'll read your letter out on the programme. In 8 to 9 weeks' time. We also do all of this for free, so if you'd like to donate, then go click the donate button from the same website, filmfandango.com or co.uk.
Here's what other people do, because I'm listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
They say, go on iTunes and rate it.
Okay, go on iTunes and rate it.
Don't know what it does, but people talk about it. Sounds, must be important.
Sounds sexy.
One star.
One star. Fuck off, mates.
Irrelevant. Irrelevant and rambling.
We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.